Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me, or if you send me medicine, at MSoci@WFYI.org. I'm also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy, also on Facebook. This show is available as a podcast, and it's also available on iTunes and also on Spotify. We're going to keep the show short and sweet, not just because of the vocal abilities of your host, any vocal abilities of our guest. This is actress Olivia Shepherd-John, and she is in the new production of Puffs, which is happening over at the District Theater. How you doing, Acorn?
I'm good. How are you?
What are the dates for Puffs?
We open December 6th of Friday, and we run until January 4th. Friday through Saturday, it's at 7:30, and Sunday at 5 o'clock. Not 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock.
There you go. And full disclosure, I've known Olivia since she was in her mom's tummy. Almost a quarter century ago.
Mm-hmm. I'm Minnie Hag.
Yes, sir. So welcome to Inside Joke Theater here at Film Sociology. All right. Before we get into that, there is one film of note that I want to point out to you folks that opens in theaters this weekend. It's at the, you know, at the Artie Place on the north side with the Real Butter and the bar. You know that one joint. It's a family drama called Waves from writer-director Trey Edward Schultz, and it's about a suburban family in Florida and how things are going well, and then a very quick downward spiral involving the oldest son, some just unfortunate choices that happens to the oldest son, and also how it affects the younger daughter. This was pretty potent stuff. The cast includes Taylor Russell, Calvin Harrison Jr., and Sterling K. Brown is the father. The oldest son is disciplined wrestler who also likes to partake in teenage lifestyles despite being dominated over by his trainer slash father and stepmother. Stepmother's a little easier going. And it just, part of the reason for the title of the film is that's life. It just comes and goes and ebbs and flows and waves. And obviously some moments are better than others. And I think this film captures that really, really well without getting too melodramatic or too over the top or too understated. And it's a really solid film across the board with solid performances from everybody. Lucas Hedges is also in this as a boy that winds up in the younger sister's life in the second half of the film. And I know we're going to have this discussion with the film, the IFJA meetings on what is lead and what is supporting. And this feels like a real ensemble film, even though one character is gone in one half and vice versa. So anyway, if you need something to balance out the Lifetime Christmas movies, I think Waves is the place for you. Now, also at the Artcraft Theater in Franklin, because apparently you don't want to watch this on TNT 24 hours a day, but they're showing A Christmas Story this weekend, Friday and Saturday at 2 and 7:30 p.m., and Sunday at 2 and 5:30 p.m., and then 1:30 p.m., Thursday, December 12th, at the Artcraft, they are doing a free showing of White Christmas for those 55 and older. You're pumping your fist in the air. You can't go for another 30 years. I don't have to go for another 5.
It's my favorite Christmas movie.
Is it?
Yes, I love White Christmas.
Really?
Yes.
Cool. Well, they're doing this for 55 and over, courtesy of Swartz Family Community Mortuary. And then there will be regular screenings December 13th through the 15th, 2 and 7:30 p.m. On Friday and Saturday, 2 and 5:30 p.m. on Sunday. And then a free members-only event if you're an Artcraft Theater member on Thursday, December 19th a.k.a. my birthday, Christmas in Connecticut at 7:30 p.m., and then December 20th through the 22nd, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, 2 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. The 7:30 shows are sold out, and 2 and 5:30 p.m. on Sunday. Viva Las Vegas, January 3rd and 4th. We'll get to that in a little bit. When did you first discover White Christmas? I thank your mother for that, I believe.
I watched White Christmas the first time when I was 5 years old, and I was enraptured. My favorite scene was Mandy, because I thought she was gorgeous. And I also just loved her dress and the fact that it became shorts. That was really cool to me.
Yeah, me too.
And I also really liked all the minstrel jokes. Should have attended to the sick and left the well alone. My favorite.
That's good.
It's a pretty good joke.
So every year.
Yep. And Bing Crosby is one of my favorites.
Ah.
So, well, Danny Kaye, obviously, but Bing Crosby is just, he's so, so good.
Nice.
Yes, I love him.
And the year before, I got to interview a gentleman who was an author who did a biography on Mary Wicks. And
oh, that's cool.
One of my favorite moments in cinema, and it's for all quote-unquote character actors everywhere, because Mrs. Sosa says all actors are character actors.
Okay.
But when Mary plants the big one on Bing,
uh-huh.
and he responds favorably,
yes. you know,
character actors everywhere uh-huh. stood up and cheered because we got loins too. So anyway, that is happening at the Artcraft Theater in Franklin, December 13th through the 15th. Good stuff there. You can see it on a big screen, you know, as opposed to watching it on television.
Yeah, I'll be there too. On Saturday.
Oh, you will?
I'm going, yeah. It's official. Put it on the calendar.
Theater know this?
Nope, they ain't.
Okay. So, Puffs.
Yeah.
Now, the stuff at the district, and I've seen you do stuff at the district.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
It is.
So, tell us in your own legal words this show.
So, Puffs takes a look at a certain wizarding school of magic and magic. For the 7 years that a certain boy wizard was there, but through the eyes of the Puffs instead of the Braves. So we all know the Braves and the Snakes, but instead we go through the eyes of the Puffs, which a quote from the show is, because they were there too. So the Puffs are kind of the underdogs that are never really looked at until year four. So you kind of get to look at their take of the certain school and how they deal with it. And my character is Megan Jones, who is a certain student who dresses in all black, or as they refer to, Matt Cox, who wrote the script, refers to as quote-unquote goth, and doesn't believe
that... Or pop culture's answer to goth.
Exactly, right. Yes. So she doesn't really believe that she should be there, and every year she kind of goes through a phase of, well, I should be with the Snakes, or I should be into books this year, or I should be all about courage. And so it's kind of about how all these students, particularly the main trio that we follow, just like the main trio in the original movie, there's a trio, Wayne, who is from Cattle Poke.
Good Lord.
Yep.
We'll get to this in a minute.
Yeah. And Oliver Rivers, and then Megan Jones. And Oliver's a nerdy, smart kid, and then Megan's, you know, the loner, and then Wayne is the all about Game Boy and all about pop culture references, and he loves superheroes and all that stuff. So these three random trio of friends, and all about their journey with the Puffs in their house.
Okay, so if this sounds familiar to you folks, I guess I should say, is the tone of the script of a parody?
Yes.
Or I would say, okay.
Yes, it's a parody.
And a Valentine. So is there a reference to a writer named K.J. Rowling?
No. We never reference her. We do have references, but they're obviously very loose. So
if you're a serious reader of the books,
you need to come. If you're a Potterhead, come see the show. They even wrote right on the back of it, Puffs is quite simply hysterical. A fast-paced romp through the 7 increasingly eventful years at a certain school of magic and magic.
Okay, so you also pointed out there's a list of do's and don'ts.
So in the back
So please inform us the legalities that go to...
So
J.K. Rowling's lawyers are not going to come and shut down. This was... So was I was joking earlier before we went on air. It was like, So did they just go to her legal team and go, well, how about this?
No, yeah, it says the do's and don'ts of marketing puffs, and there's do's. So you can say, refer to the house names that, as we refer to them in the script, Braves, Smarts, Puffs, Snakes.
Okay.
And we're allowed to use hashtags, like hashtag third or nothing, hashtag Puffs Play, hashtag Jay Finch approved. And we're allowed to use the approved logo, which is a badger, and pennants, but we're not allowed to use anything else. So nothing that is Warner Brothers themed, nothing else.
Right.
Just because then we could get people in trouble, and then also we can't perform this awesome play for you guys.
Right.
What I love most about this script, though, is Matt Cox, and I mean Darren Morrell, who's directing it, purposely says you can talk fast, and me as a Gilmore girl loves to talk fast. So for me, it's right in my wheelhouse. So.
Or his Girl Friday person.
Yes.
If you're really old, but you
probably
watched that as a kid.
I did,
too.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's one of my favorite things, is that we're allowed to talk fast. So when you come. Get your brain ready. Have a cold brew and get ready. Get pumped. It's 90 minutes.
That should be on the poster right there.
Yeah, get pumped, get ready. It's 90 minutes of fierce, fast, wizarding fun.
So how were you, I'm assuming you were a reader of the books before. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you really
I'm all about it. Yeah, I read the first one because I grew up with them. So I was.
Literally.
So I read the first one and I was a year, I guess, behind. So I read it in second grade.
Do you guys make fun of the last book being made in the two films?
I'm still
angry about that.
I love it. Well, we make fun of it in the script. Somebody goes, they went camping, which is like the whole first movie, which is the whole first half of book 7, which cracks me up. But yeah.
So with these do's and don'ts, were you able to adjust, as a performer, were you able to adjust easier?
Yeah.
Without actually having to blurt out the names that shan't be named.
Well, the script is so smart and so well written that you really don't ever feel the urge to have to say any of the copyrighted things. And I think also on top of that, too, there's specific parts in the script where it says you can improv this. So there's multiple parts. Let me find it. There's a whole character called Zach Smith who comes in, and it's a whole page of dialogue, and it literally says improv.
Okay.
So he has probably a minute or two where he just improvs, and it's hysterical. The guy playing him also doubles as Jay Finch. Here it is. And it's also on page 69, which cracks me up.
Oh, good Lord.
And it says, it starts with Zach Smith, and he's supposed to be, like, the head of the Quidditch team. Right.
What's the game called?
Sports team.
Oh, the sport. Yes.
We call it
sports.
We say, yay, sports.
Oh, jeez.
We never use the term Quidditch. But, yeah, so he does, it's like a whole page of improv, and it literally says, the person who originated the role improvised Zach Smith over 600 times as of this writing, so sky's the limit. So you can do as many, many times, I mean, every time that he's done it at rehearsal, it's been hysterical and raunchy and very funny.
How big a crew do you have? How big a cast?
How big? I think it's 10.
Okay. And they're all...
Well, actually, it's 12. It's 12, because we have two swings that double as kind of our, they play death buddies, as well as they help us with a lot of our set changes, because we don't really have set changes, but we have these doors that open, and they open those for us, as well as they do a lot of other little stuff off stage. They're the best. They're literally the best people, Anthony and Kayla. They're swings. And Anthony's actually going on Sunday as the narrator. So, yeah, because there's a narrator that takes you through all 7 years.
And it's the voice of the guy who does the audiobooks.
No.
It's not, it is not.
But he's better.
Ooh.
Dave Rook, he's great.
So is everybody in the cast big fans of the books?
Oh, yeah. I think everybody, yeah. Yeah, we're all geeks. We're all Potter geeks.
That's okay. I mean, when I directed It's a Wonderful Life, to this day, I still am in touch with a few of the kids.
Oh, yeah.
And now they're your age.
Yeah.
But a lot of them still have never watched
what?
It's a Wonderful Life. I know.
How can you not? I said that we need to have a whole viewing and watch all the movies.
I have offered this, but it happens. I don't know. It's a job for some, so it's all right.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a good time, and it's fun to also kind of see how they fit in those 7 years, you know,
because
they're so different and fun. And I mean, there's so many little puffs out there that haven't gotten to say have a stance on anything. It's so sad. Mm-hmm. But it's so heartfelt, too. That's what's cool about the script is while it's funny and raunchy, it's also really heartfelt. And the goal is to make you feel all warm inside when you're leaving, too.
Nice.
So, yeah.
So you're not doing sound effects on this one.
I'm not. I'm not a Foley artist on this one. But the person doing the sound design is great. It's doing wonderful. And Justina's up there running the board. She's great. We're going to add fog tonight. So it's going to have some fog, and the light effects are really cool. We have a bright green light for that death curse, so that's fun. And, yeah, it's really neat. It's so prop-heavy, you guys. So prop-heavy. Because most characters play multiple parts. There's a character, Susie Bones, who plays multiple parts. She's, like, insane. She's, like, you think one moment she's Susie, and then she's playing that certain wizarding boy, and then she's playing Hermione, and then she's playing a mop, and then, you know, it's
Is there a joke made how one of the elders goes from Richard Harris to Michael Gambon?
Yes, there is.
Of course there is.
There's a joke about that. There's a joke about year three and Sirius. Because it's really serious. It gets really
Professor
dark.
Professor Hartlock and Bagels.
We also have a joke about real Mr. Moody. Mm-hmm. We have a joke. There's so many jokes. And what's cool is, for me, it's great because some of them are really dry. You won't catch it unless you're really into it. And others, it's like laying it on thick. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah. But they're pretty great. There's really nice, subtle nods to it, too. In some of the physicalities that we do. We also all have wands that do light up. So that's fun. Fun to play with. They make noise. So I love that. And we got to paint our own and, like, decorate it. And what's so cool, Darren and I were talking about this today because I was helping him with the set. And what's so neat is how craftsy our whole cast is. You know, we've all kind of banded together and made all the props, and we've made all the set pieces. And Darren's a freaking prop master. He just finds all these random things and is like, this could be a prop. And we're like, yeah, no idea, you know. I got to make some badges, which was fun.
We don't need no stinking badges.
No stinking badges.
So I mentioned earlier that about doing sound effects, because the last time I saw you on stage, you were doing all of the sound for In the Same Theater.
Yep.
And probably feels in the same vein.
Well, that was in the Studio Theater.
In the Studio. Oh,
yeah,
you're on the...
we're doing it on the Proscenium.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So last time you guys were in the smaller theater, and you were doing a theatrical spoof of Jurassic Park.
Yes.
And I got to take Andy and Amy, the doodie. Hi, guys. And this is Andy's favorite film.
Oh, it
so
is.
So he was
all about
losing it.
Yeah, I got to make all the dinosaur noises and everything.
And you had been training for this your whole life,
Yes, Jurassic Park was one of my favorite. That movie and Beauty and the Beast were my two favorite movies growing up as a kid, which... What a dichotomy.
Yeah, you're fine. I see. I know your household. It's okay.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I love Jurassic Park. So when Darren reached out and said, hey, audition for this for me, I said, yeah, duh.
Mm-hmm.
And man, was it the weirdest self-tape I've ever done.
Yeah?
I still go back and watch that self-tape because it's just me making weird noises. It's like champagne bottle. You know what I mean? Like just looking at a camera and making these weird noises. And then I had to make a helicopter noise, and I gave him two options.
Of course you did.
You know,
it's that Ball State training.
Yeah, and Bronchiosaurus and the Gallimimus and all those, which were fun. And I did have to look up because I didn't remember them from my childhood.
That's all right.
I failed.
No,
failed
you didn't.
My childhood.
You did your research, is what you did.
I did. So
give us the dates again for Puffs.
Yeah, it's December 6th through January 4th, Friday and Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 5.
And
at the District Theater on Mass Avenue.
You should go. It's a lot of fun.
We also do sell concessions. Yay.
What are you selling?
Candy bars, sodas.
Oh, jeez.
It's alcohol. No, we don't have butter beer.
I've had it. It's really okay. It's
yeah. Fun.
So as I mentioned earlier, I've known Olivia for a long, long, long time. And what did your mom make you watch growing up as a kid?
She didn't make me watch anything.
She didn't?
No, she didn't.
Really?
She didn't make me watch anything.
All right, so what do you remember watching early with your mom?
With my mom? Well, Jurassic Park was definitely one of them.
Jurassic
Park came out when I was born in 94.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Good God. So, yes, I knew that.
Yeah,
because
my birthday is in December 8th. It's on Sunday. Come see the show Sunday and wish me a happy birthday.
Oh, God.
I'm turning 25. Just like the movie. I'm trying to think of what else. I liked Josie and the Pussycats.
Apparently I need to revisit that because the satire's aged fairly well.
It's so funny. Yeah, and I and as a kid, you know, it goes right over my head. The fact that my mom let me watch all these really funny adult humor.
Grown up. Never say you watch adult movies with your parents.
Yes.
That's I trained Emma that. Like, no, I don't wanna
cracks me up.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah. It's so cool, you know? So let me watch all those.
See, I, in the mid-90s, I had written a screenplay. Lynn says I still need to adapt it for a Fringe show, and I should. But it made fun of the Beatles anthology had just come out on television.
Nice.
And it also poked fun of a certain band. And I wrote the Josie and the Pussycats anthology.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And because in the 70s, you were either a rock band or you solved mysteries mm-hmm. or both. And, mm-hmm. and those cartoons are garbage. So anyway, I wrote it and then the film came out.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that kills it. So.
Well, yeah. And then a family favorite. We all love The Jerk. That's our favorite.
Wow.
We have a whole text stream of us, just my sister, my dad, my mom, and I, all just...
With your OptiGrab?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He hates these cows. Get away from the cows.
Good Lord. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, a young 25-year-old is quoting Steve Martin circa 1979.
My favorite. So. I love Steve Martin. But that was a household favorite. I still want a thermos like that. You know?
Of course you do.
By the
and
time
your
I
dog.
Was 15,
I don't even need the dog.
Maybe I don't need my dog. Yeah, from 15 years old, I wanted a thermos like that. And I was always hoping that some boy would be like, I'm picking up a thermos for you. Now I'm dating somebody who's exactly like that, you know. It's great.
Does he know this?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he knows I want a thermos like that. Hey, Colin, give me that thermos.
Jeez. Well, ladies and gentlemen, for the sake of our voices, we're gonna cut this short. But remind folks again, Puffs the Play, one act edition, mm-hmm. written by Matt Cox. 90-ish minutes is gonna be at the District Theater at Mass Ave, 3 Indie Bard Fest. Mm-hmm. So the dates again are
December 6th through January 4th, Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 5:00.
So there you go. Go check it out. Go see Olivia. It's a lot of fun. If the rest of the cast is anything like her,
they are.
Oh, God.
They're
no,
wonderful.
They're not.
They're
well, they
wonderful.
Are, but they aren't.
They're
so.
Wonderful. And come say hi to me afterward. I promise I'm not scary.
No, you're not. Not at all. So.
Especially in all that dark makeup.
Yes. Thank you, Minnie Hag.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie or a silly play based on a series of books that we can't talk about for legal reasons. Well, we can't, but we just did. Anyway, you deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!